And you're listening to Amud V'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos. Today's Amud is Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to start from the last line on Tes Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara begins. Vam Rabbi Chama Bar Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chama Bar Rabbi Chanina is going to have a drash on a pasuk, and it seems to be that the relevance of this piece is the Baal Maimer, the person who said it, because in the previous teaching, it's again Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, and so we're quoting him again, a different teaching of his. And he says, Lama nismachu alim l'nachalim, dichsiv kinachalim etayu giganos alay naharka alim natav gomer. So why does the Torah juxtapose these two concepts, the tenth concept of tents and the concept of rivers, right, a nachal to an ohel? Right, so this pasuk is a pasuk from right, Bamidbar. Looks like it might be from words of Bilam. But what is it saying? It's saying like rivers, right? That tayu keganos alei nahar kalim natav gomer. So it even though there, so it says this, you know, this ganos piece in between, but it's referring to places where the Jewish people are and where they live. And it calls them nechalim, rivers, and ohalim, tents. So what do tents and rivers have in common? That's what the pasuk means. And the same pasuk we mentioned have two references to places where Klal Yisrael live and are. One is rivers, one is tents. So what is that connection? So the Gemara responds, Lomar lach, to tell you, this is Rabbi Brachana, Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, Lomar lach, to tell you, man chalim malinas adam mitum l'tahara, just like rivers lift a person up, elevate him from a status of tuma to tahara, right? Because rivers, of course, could serve as a mikveh, and if it serves as a mikveh, then they can reach this level of tahara. Af ohalim malinas adam mikaf chova l'kaf schus. So too do tents raise a person from the mikaf chova, from the side of the palm of chov, to the palm of schus, right? If someone's like on a scale of chova and schus, so it tips them in favor of schus if they have tents. So what does it mean by tents? So as Rashi says over here, avolim batei medrashos, right? The batei medrash. There's an unklus in this week's parsha with Parshas Yisro that it says Moshe took Yisro to the tent and spoke to him inside the tent, and I think Unkelus there says it was a base medrash.
Does it actually have to be a tent, or no. Can it be any type of building?
No. It seems back in the day they were that's where they would learn. And oh, Yaakov is a Yoshev Ohalim tents. That seemed to be the style, but it's a reference to any batei medrash in general. Okay. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Havuka, Katrin, Le, Ganana, Le, Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, they were tying down a wedding canopy for Rabbi Elazar. Now, Amar Lahu, so he said to them, Adahachi Vahachi, while this is going on, Izil Ve'ishma Milsa, Debe Midrasha, I'm going to go to the base medrash. I'm going to hear something. Ve'Vaisi, and I'm going to bring it back, Ve'ima Lahu, and I'm going to say it to you. So this is interesting, right? Because they're Rami and Ravasi are doing this for Velazar. They're setting up his wedding canopy, and he says, "Oh, well, looks like you guys are busy doing this. So I'm going to go learn teaching." I, it could be that Velazar, I'm assuming, was actually older than them. It could be that's probably what it was. I think Velazar is really a very early Amora. Ravasi and Ramami might be a little bit more recent, and it could be that explains it, that they were serving Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't, you know, maybe he wasn't going to be involved in that, but he wanted to, so he was going to go learn. It could be that's it. We could look that up after. It could be Rabbi Elazar is not that much older than them. Could be that they were doing a chesed. So he says, you know, it's better for you guys to do a chesed, me to learn Torah, and then I could do chesed while doing the Torah. I don't know what exactly the cheshbon was, but they seemed okay with it, especially as the story goes on. So let's see what he says. So Azal Ashka, so he went to the base medrash. Ashka chela Tana de Ketani committed Rabbi Yochanan. He saw that there was a Tana teaching brisos in front of Rabbi Yochanan. So this Tana is not Tana like the rabbis of the Mishnah, because Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi and Rasi were all Amorayim. The Tanaim are not around anymore. But the Tana was someone in a base medrash. I think actually we even had it maybe one or two a couple of bot ago, where they had people who had really good memories, and they would recite brisos in front of the Amorayim. They had a bunch of them memorized, and they would recite them and share these teachings. So he found this Tana teaching before Rabbi Yochanan, and this is what he taught him. Kara v'ta v'eno yudei lehechan ta. This is actually going back to our discussion from the Mishnah on Tesvav Amud Aleph. Right, what happens if someone makes this mistake during Kriya Shema? He loses his place. So if someone was reading Kriya Shema and he made a mistake, he doesn't know where he left off. Remember this discussion? So if he's in the middle, he finds himself in the middle of the perek, doesn't know exactly, I'm in the middle here somewhere. So Yachzor LaRosh, he should go back to the beginning of the perek. Bein perek LaPerek. So if he knows that he's in between parakim, he doesn't know which parakim he's in between. So yachshel the parak rishon, he should go back to the first parak. Start right, go back to the take it to the top, take it from the top. But Rashi clarifies that this is actually lehefsik rishon b'hayim shemoa. Doesn't mean go back to take it from the top literally from Shema, because you know you're in the middle of a parak. I'm just not sure if I'm between one and two or two and three. So then you can go back to the beginning of the second parsha. And bein ksiva l'ksiva, between writing and writing, yachzor l'ksiva rishona. He goes back to the ksiva rishona. What does it mean, ksiva, the writing? So it doesn't mean, right, you're all Krishna, right, and especially now this is in our Siddur, is written. Rashi explains it's understood.
Paragraphs or?
It means the two times that we mention ksiva in Shema, right? The first and second parsha we mentioned the other day, right? Chsavtem, right? So it has a lashon of ksiva. So what if I get mixed up by that point, right? By these similar phrases in the first parsha and the second parsha, and I think, right, we were speaking about how this happens.
You go to the first, right?
So what should you do? So you go to the ksiva rishona. Rashi says, "Sheyodei tzarich lomar ksavtem ve'ino yodei im rishon im sheni." We don't know what to do. You find, right, and it's happened to everybody once. Many people more than once, where they find themselves saying these similar phrases in the parshas of Shema. They're not sure if they're the first or second. So it says, go back to the first one. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lo shanu ela shelo pasach b'leman yirbu yimeichem." We only say this if he didn't start saying "Leman yirbu yimeichem." Right, meaning the following words. If he says "Bilaman yirbu yimeichem,"
so you can trust your words.
You can trust the words that are coming out of your mouth. So aval pasach leman yirbu yimeichem. But if he did start saying "Leman yirbu yimeichem," sarchei nakat ve'asi. He has chosen his habit, or his habit has chosen him, and he goes on. So meaning that we assume that the fact that your lips said those words are because you were up to there. We have said that your habit seized you, and you can trust that, right? Rashi says, "Ein latos mikan ad emes yatsiv ein sarach lachzor ela emes parsha shagar b'fi." Right. The part, right, the parsha is in his mouth, he can go on and read till the end, and we can trust that he can trust what he did. Also, he went back to them. Rabbi Elazar went back to Rabbi Vasi of Amar Lehu. He sent to them Amrule. He said the teaching to them Amrule. They said to him, "Ilo banu elishma davar ze dayenu." Right. So if it would not be, if that would be the only thing we came today, we didn't get the schus of the chesed that we're doing and all that. If the one thing we got was that teaching, ilu ilu hotzianu, right, dayenu, that would have been enough for us. What a gavaldika teaching. So I don't know if Ravani and Rasi had this problem a lot, where they got caught up in the ksivas and that kind of thing, but they seem to really appreciate this teaching. Okay.
And probably more people ask them,
the pashas, right? Okay, so now new Mishnah. This is the fourth Mishnah. The way it's broken up in our Gemara, it looks like it's the third. I think the way it's broken up in Mishnah, yes, it'll be the fourth Mishnah. Okay, so let's learn it. if workers, so workers may read at the top of a tree, uberosh hanidbach, or the top of like a wall or some scaffold, some high up place. A binyan shel avanim, says Rashi, kimo nidachim de'evim galal. So like a big like stone wall. Or a tree. Rashi explains, umnin shehim asukim b'malachtan b'rosha ilan o b'rosha nidbach. Right, they're people who are some sort of, you know, fruit pickers or construction workers or something, but they're working on high up places. B'giyazman kriya shema, it's time for kriya shema, korin l'shamyan, so they're able to read where they are immediately. So that's a halacha. They can read kriya shema from up in a tree. They can read it on this nidbach. That's fine. Masha einan rishayin lasos kain b'tfila. But they're not allowed to do this regarding davening. Meaning what?
You can only do it by davening when you're learning.
Right? Yeah. When if we're doing Kriyashma is fine to do up in the tree. But to daven, to do Shemana Esrei up there, not a good idea.
Well, I mean, you're going to fall off, so.
Oh, okay, most maybe. Of the time. So let's take a look at Rashi. What might the difference be? Rashi says, Masha, in a Rishayin Lassos Tekeinu Tvila, did Slusa Rachmehi. Because that's davening for mercy, uboi kavana, and it needs more kavana. Hilkach in his file in Rosh Hashanah.
You'll be concentrating on the stain.
Right, so wait, what about Kriya Shema? You don't need kavana for that.
Well, it's easier. You'll be sitting down. You don't need Kriya Shema. You could.
You're standing in the tree.
You don't have to stand in a tree. You can sit on a branch.
Oh, you're saying it's a standing sitting thing.
Yeah.
I don't think we understand. We assume
that changes, it's the same thing. That changes how you think.
Could be. I think Rashi's saying, right? So it could the way that we're trying to understand it. It could be a length thing, right? In that Kriya Shema, you only really need Iker Kavana. You hold like Rav Meir and like Rava said. So you only need Kavana for the first pasuk. Shema Esrei is a much longer process that you need Kavana for, and you're not going to be able to have the proper Kavana. See, we're not really worried about the danger part. We're worried of why daven if you're not going to be able to have Kavana in the first place part.
Right.
Sounds like it's coming from that angle. But so it could be a length thing, but it also could be maybe it seems like Rashi maybe saying more of a quality in kavana thing, not just the length. But Shemona Esrei, you need a different type of kavana and a more intense kavana, right? By Kriya Shema, you're just accepting Hashem, accepting God and His laws. So that's what you're accepting. So you just need to be aware of what you're doing for that moment. For Shemona Esrei, you need to generate the feeling that, you know, Dalaf Mei Miata Omei, know whom before whom you're standing in Tefillah. You have to generate a real feeling of standing before Hashem, and that requires a really intense form of kavana that someone probably can't get to while they're in a tree. And it could be also, if you get to that level while you're in a tree, you're likely to fall out of the tree, which is really also not a good thing to do. Okay, so this is the halacha. Umnin, workers will read Kriya Shema in a tree, but they're not going to daven in a tree. Chasan, a chasan, patur mi Kriya Shema laila rishon aval matzoi Shabbos. A chasan doesn't read Kriya Shema the night of his wedding.
He doesn't need to, or doesn't.
Oh, we'll get there. Okay, the night of his wedding until Motzai Shabbos. Right. This is assuming that I think this is assuming that he gets married on a Wednesday, like the Gemara Ksubas indicates someone does if they're marrying somebody who was never married before. The Mishnah clarifies imlo asa maisa if he didn't do the deed, if he didn't consummate his marriage, right? Meaning he got married, but he wasn't with his wife yet, so he doesn't say Kriya Shema until Motzai Shabbos. Even if it goes a few days, he doesn't say Kriya Shema every night that he is not with his wife. The Gemara is going to explain why that would be. Okay, and now to your question, Umaisa Rabbi Gamliel, and there's a story of Rabbi Gamliel Shanasa Isha Vikara Laila Rishona. He got married, and the first night he read Kriya Shema. Amar lo Tamidav, his Tamidim said to him, Limatanu Rabbeinu, you taught us Shechasan Patim Kriya Shema. He said to them, I'm not going to listen to you. You guys are trying to be mavato from me being makabel malchus shemayim even for one moment. So I'm not going to listen to you. It's a funny lashon because they're quoting his teaching. They're saying, Rebbe, you taught us this, and he's like, I'm not going to listen to you, as if it's like they're in it. But
wouldn't that be mavato? Like according to what he said, wouldn't that be? Like, it's going to count.
Well, it doesn't say it's not going to count. What does it say? Shechosin Pachim Kriyashma. Does that mean it doesn't count?
What does it mean? Chosin Pachim Kriyashma. He doesn't have to say it.
He's Pachim. He doesn't have to. Not that he can't necessarily, though we'll see. Maybe it's not supposed that he can. The halacha could be it's inappropriate to do it because it's like almost showing off. Maybe we'll discuss that in a little bit. But it seems to be that it's just the halacha that he's potter. Rabbi Gamliel said, no way. For me, I'm going to be makabal achos mine. Tosos explains over here. That the Gemara is clarifying that it's not a contradiction. Rabbi Gamliel is saying im gadol hu b'teich ba'atzma shi'achol es kavin. The whole problem is that we're worried about kavana. You're not going to be a man who's getting knighted the night of his wedding, right? And
he's going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, he's overwhelmed, and he's not going to be able to have proper kavana for Kriyat Shema. So he shouldn't. There's better not to say Kriyat Shema. Now, Rabbi Gamliel. If he's like someone like him, who Tosa says, Gadohu, Ubateach Ba'atma Shiachol Iskavim, he was a Gadol, and he had Bitachon in himself, that he would be able to have Kavanda, who Roy Lito as Hashem Ber Hashus Biyado. So it's okay for him to say Shem Hashem. Because it might be a problem to say Shem Hashem is saying Hashem Levatala for if you're not going to be able to kavana. But he says no, I'm doing the right thing, and this is fine for me because I know myself. Okay, so that's the Mishnah, and we're going to have on the next number we're going to have two more Mishnayos, I think, that are bunched into one, but in Mishnayos they're separate. We're going to be similar in instances of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, but let's take it from the Gemara. Tan Rabbanon Umnin Korin Baroshi Lanan Barosha Nidbach. We learned in the Braisa that Umnin can read in the top of a tree or at the top of a Nidbach, like this wall of some sort, the stones. Umispalin Barosha Zayas Barosha Tena, and they can even daven. Right, they can daven if it's at the head of an olive tree or a fig tree. Right, zayis and teyana can mean olive or fig, or olive tree and fig tree. Vishar kol ilanos yordim lamata mispalin. But for any other trees, they have to go down and daven. They can't daven up in the tree.
Why? Because it has to do with the kedusha. Like olives are more used for.
Nope, not at all.
Just
not all Rashi. I'm sure you could have a very nice drush or whatever you're saying. Rashi says, "Bisman she'oskin behen mipnei shah nafeh merubim," because they have a lot of leaves. V'yacholin lamod sham shalom bedochik, because they're such thick branches. Sorry, not a lot of leaves. I'm sorry, I'm branches. They have very thick, strong branches. You feel like you're basically walking on firm, right, terra firma, right, firm land, and you feel safe. When you're on top of an olive tree or a fig tree. When was the last time you were on an olive tree or fig tree? Okay, so
I feel like I've seen thicker trees than that.
Okay, well, these are such thick, strong trees, and it could be if you had other trees also could be the same idea. So these types of trees, Rashi says, Yechon lamod sham shalom b'dochek, you're able to stand there without without pressure. The ain sham pacha lipo, you don't have any fear that you're going to fall. Lefichach mispalin b'rosham, you can daven on the heads of these trees, the top of the trees. Aval b'shari lanos ain mispalin. Okay, so we know you could. So this brisa is similar to our Mishnah. It says that you, in general, you can't daven on trees. You can't say Kriyat Shema on trees. There are certain trees you can daven on, particularly strong ones. Okay, good. Ubala bayis, and if you're the bala bayis, what are umnin? They're workers. They're working for somebody. What about a bala bayis? Somebody who works on, he works on his own time. He works from home. He's the owner of the field, and he's working in this field also. Whether this or whether that, he should go down and daven, right? If he has employees, they're working on his account, right? He's paying them to work, so they daven up in the tree. For him, he works for himself, so he should get down and daven. Lefisha ain dati meshevas alav. Because his das is not meyushav alav, it's meyushavas alav, it's not settled, meaning it's not so good to daven in trees.
Right.
There are some trees that it's basically impossible to daven on. There are some that they're stronger to daven on. But if you can avoid it, avoid it. Why do we let the workers daven up there then?
Because they don't have a choice. They need a. They're working.
They're working for this guy. They have to be faithful, honest workers. So they have to waste as little time as possible.
Also, if they're working for Gaim, it's better to like now. Look,
I think we're assuming we're working for Jews. Let's assume we're working for Jews.
You have to assume that.
No reason not to. I mean, yeah, probably because the Baal Bais we're talking about it seems to be also someone daven. Let's assume Jews. I'm not getting to the Phil Hashem questions. Let's assume Jews. So, right. So Rashi says, "Yoredu mispala." You take a look at Rashi. Daha eno mishubad lamalacha shubar shosatmo, because he is not mishubad, right? Like an Eved. He's not enslaved to malacha, to the work, because it's his rishus. Meaning, this is your business. This is your field, your treat, so you can take a few minutes off of your work and daven like a mensch. They, since they're working on your time, right? They're on the clock workers, and so any extra time that they take, they're still or you're the worker. Any extra time you take, you're basically stealing from your employer. So you have to use as little extra time as possible.
Right.
Okay. Rami le Rav Mari bara devas Shmuel le Rava. So. Rav Mari, the son of Shmuel's daughter, asked Rava a contradiction. He's about to bring two contradictory sources. Tznan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ha'umnin Korin Barosha Ilan and Barosha Nidbach, right? Umnin read Kriyashma in the head of a tree or a Nidbach. So Alma, we see from this, lo bai kavana, right? Doesn't that seem to indicate that you don't need kavana for krisma? The fact that I'm allowed to daven on one of these high up places without krisma seems like I don't need kavana for these things. Uriminihi, but I'm going to ask a contradiction. Hakore, another Mishnah Brisa. Hakore Shema. Oh, this is the Mishnah. Someone who reads Shema, Tsarech Sheikhavin is libo. Somebody who reads Shema, he needs to have kavana in his lathe. Shinemar, because the pasuk says Shema Yisrael. It says Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel. Ula halan hu omer, and later on it says Haskes uShema Yisrael. Haskes means to be attentive. So there's a pasuk. This is in Devarim, the end of Devarim. It says Haskes uShema Yisrael. Be attentive and listen, Israel. So mala halan the Haskes. So just like later on when we say Haskes uShema Yisrael. It's Vahas case. You should listen. Israel should listen with attentiveness, with attention. Afkan, so too by Kriyashma, Vahas case. You should be attentive to your Kriyashma. Right. So the first Mishnah seems to say, you can say Kriyashma one of these high places. It must be that you don't need Kavanah. But then we have the second Brisa, which teaches us that the Torah says Vahas case by Shema Yisrael, teaching me I need to be attentive to my Kriyashma. Which one is it? Ishtik, he was quiet. He didn't have a response. Amar Lei, he said to him, Midi Shamiya Lach Baha? He says back to, I don't know, did you ever hear anything regarding this? You hear a chat?
Why can't you say the first Brisa was talking about when you're in a tree, the second Brisa was talking about when you're on the ground, you're able to have time.
So let's see what we answer. Let's see if it's anywhere along those lines. Well, if the Ikar Mitzvah... Okay, so let's take a look at the answer first. So, Shmuel Lach Lavaha, did you hear anyone say anything about this? Amar Lei, he said to him, Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes, this is what Rav Sheshes said. V'hu Shebatlin Mimalachtan V'korin. That he should be mevatel from his work and read on and read, meaning that when we learned the brisa, when we learned that first brisa, so we originally thought that it was saying that a worker it indicates you don't need kavana because it looked like they were working and continuing to work while saying Shema, meaning. What?
They were working while they're saying Shema, or like
that's what originally we thought. When he asked the question, he indicated that look, you see, why are they saying Shema up in the tree? Because they're still doing their work up in the tree. So clearly, you don't need kavanah because you can do it while you're working. So Rav Sheshes explains no, They stopped working. They stopped working for a minute or 10 seconds to say the first pasuk of Shema. They stopped working for a little bit and then they continued.
They just,
so
like,
really, you do need kavanah.
They lean against a trunk. Like,
yeah, for Shema, you mean you can still have kavanah to say the first pasuk of Shema even in a tree. Not if you're still working. If I'm still cutting this and pruning this and all that, then I can't.
I mean, I think that's for sure now.
Right, so that's not appropriate because you need to have kavana. So we see in the first brisa, in the second brisa, which says Shema Yisrael Has case, be attentive to Shema. Yeah, it's true. You should have kavana. Be attentive to Shema. The first brisa, which says that workers should say Shema up in the tree. Yeah, but they should stop working so they can have kavana for a few seconds and then go back to their work. So it's not it's no longer a contradiction. Okay.
Tanya?
No. Yeah. V'hatanya, but we learned to the brisa based on the omrim oskin melachtan v'korin. Wait, v'hatanya, but we learned the brisa quite a problem. A different brisa seems to contradict this. You're telling me that they need to stop working, but the brisa says based hill say oskin melachtan v'korin. You're allowed to work and read kriyashma, meaning you're even allowed to be continuing to work and chop branches and doing that during kriyashma. That's what based hill seems to say. Lo kashet, still not a question. Ha b'perek rishon, ha b'perek sheni. Beis Hillel, when they said you can continue doing your work and while saying Kriya Shema, they weren't saying during the Perek Rishon, they were saying during the Perek Sheni.
What does that mean?
What does Perek Rishon and Perek Sheni mean?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like the first parsha and the second parsha. Rashi says Parsha Shema by Kavana, but it could be we really hold that that only the first pasuk. But let's just say the first parsha. There's that when Beis Hillel say you can continue to work while you're saying Kriya Shema, they didn't mean during the part you need to have kavana for. They meant
only
the part
like
that
Bahaya
the part. Yeah, Bahaya and And, or maybe even after V'ahavta. Unclear. The pashtus of the Gemara seems to be that the second parak, it seems like this from this Gemara alone, that Beis Hillel holds that you need kavanah by the whole first parsha, that we only hold you need for the first pasuk, but you hold for the first parsha. And when they say you can do your work during Kriya Shema, they didn't mean during the whole parsha, during the whole Kriya Shema, only the second parsha on where you don't need kavanah for that. Okay, now I think we're out of our problems. Good. how per region? Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Polim Shayosin Malacha Itzo Balabayis Koran Kriya Shema Mavarchan Lefenei V'Achara. So Polim workers who are doing Malacha by the Balabayis with the right Koran Kriya Shema, they read Kriya Shema Mavarchan Lefenei V'Achara. They do the Birchas Kriya Shema before and after. But Ochlin Pizza and they eat their bread Mavarchan Lefenei V'Achara. They make a bracha before and after their bread. Who is Falin Tefila Shos Monastery and they daven Shmonastery. But they shouldn't appoint a chazan, right? The chazan used to go in front of the teva,
right,
in front of the yard and daven. So don't appoint a chazan, that'll take too much time. And don't do birchas kohanim, also that takes too much time. So meaning, this Bryce is saying, you can do basic minimum of Avodas Hashem, in davening and things like that, benching, but don't do the extras, that'll take more time. Like having a chazan and birchas kohanim. Wait, hold on. But we learned in a brisa, me'en yudches. You should do an abridged version. There's a different brisa which says that these workers shouldn't say a full Shmoneh Esrei. They should say an abridged version of Shmoneh Esrei. Right? A me'en yudches. Right? Al Mikhya is a me'en shalosh. It's an abridged version of Birchas Hamazon. So this is me'en Shmoneh Esrei. Rashi says, Havi Neinu L'Das Darchecha. There's a tefillah called Havi Neinu where they would say the first three brachos, the Gimel Rishonos, Gimel Acharonos.
Do we still hold? You can say it today or not?
I don't know the halachas of Havanina. I'm not sure. I'm sure they're there, but in general, there's not such a need for it. Or maybe there is. I don't know. But these middle brachos were crunched together. We're going to learn more about Havanina later on. We're going to speak more about Havanina, and could be able to do some halachal ma'aser there. So anyway, but we have a contradiction. The first brisa says that they should say full Shmoneh Esrei. Second brisa says they're supposed to do the bridge of Shmoneh Esrei. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says lo kasha. It's not a kasha. Ha Rav Gamliel, ha Rav Yeshua. Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua have a machlokas later on in the Gemara. That's going to be on Chaf Yasam Beis. They have a machlokas about this abridged Shmoneh Esrei. Should you say? Is there such thing as having? Are we allowed to say such a thing? Or maybe everybody can say such a thing. So we're saying over here, the one opinion is Right, this is Rabbi Gamliel, this is Rabbi Yeshua. Right, Rashi says, it's not prepared to Shachar, Rabbi Gamliel, Omer Bechol Yom V'Yom Mispala Adam Yud Ches Brachos. Every day a person should say Yud Ches Brachos. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Me'en Yud Ches. Rabbi Yeshua says, a person only has to say Me'en Yud Ches, an abridged version. So, these two brachos reflect the two biggest, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Hold on, I'm not happy with that. Ir Rabbi Yeshua, my ir Yepolim. Why is it only talking about workers? Afilu kol adam nami. Rabbi Yeshua says not workers have to say in a bridge smile. So he says everybody does. So why? How could this be Rabbi Yeshua's brisa if it's talking about specifically workers?
Right.
Rabbi Yeshua's brisa would say anybody. Ella idi v'idi Rabbi Gamliel. Rather, both brisas are really the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, who says that who says that you should say full Yud Ches Brachos. V'lo kasha. Kan ba'osin b'scharan, kan ba'osin b'sudasan. Here's when they're working for a salary, for money, and here's when they're working for their food. That if you're working for your food, so there's a little bit more leeway. Meaning, if you're not getting paid in cash, or you're getting paid in just like in food, and that's your compensation, so you have a little bit more leeway, and then Rabbi Gamliel will say Davin Yud Ches Brachos. But if you're working, you're a paid worker for with a salary, so then you should then only say the abridged version. That there's more leeway when it comes to workers who are only working for food. All right, so let's. Vahatanya, so this is going to be a unique Vahatanya. Usually, what does Vahatanya come to indicate?
It's teaching us something.
So usually Vahatanya, or Vahatnan, is a question. But we learned in a Mishnah, Vahatnan, Vahatanya, but we learned in a Braisa otherwise. But over here, it's Vahatanya is actually going to be a proof. And you'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Binichusa. Right, Rashi says binichusa. When he says binichusa on the words vahatanya, vahatanan, vahadis, vahadat, he says binichusa. That means it's actually the opposite of what a usual vahatanya is. It's not a question, it's going to be a support. So write that down, remember that. Binichusa is Rashi's key. He's telling you vahatanya isn't what it usually means, it's not a question. Rather, it's actually supportive of what we just said. You just said that there's a chiluk, there's, right, between workers who get paid and workers who get paid in food. So Vahatanya, we have a similar braisa. Hapolin shayu osim malacha etzal balabayis korin kriyash mamispalin vokhin pitan ve'in levarachin lefaneha alam arvarachin acharash shtayim. So you have a people working by the balabayis. They read kriyash ma, they eat bread, they don't make a bracha before. It's very interesting. They're not making bracha rishona. Amavarchan lachareha. Shtayim. And afterwards, they bench with only two brachos. Two brachos. Ketzad, how do you do that? So bracha rishona kitikuna. The first bracha shemen esrei of benching, they read it as normal. Shnia poseh b'berchas ha'aretz v'kolan bonei Yerushalayim b'berchas ha'aretz. And then they kind of squeeze the second and third brachas together. They don't say the fourth. They don't say any of the harachmas or any of that. Surely not. And they squish these brachas together. B'ameh dvar mamurim, asks the Braisa. When do we say this? Ba'osin b'scharan. Only if they're getting paid in cash. Aval osin b'sudasan, oshahayu baal ha'bayis meisiv imahen. But if they were getting paid in food, or even if they're not getting paid in the food, but the baal ha'bayis is sitting with them, you know, eating meal with them, mevarkin kitikuna. They make the bracha, they bench as normal. Because we see that the baal ha'bayis is okay with them being there and eating the meal, so they can bench normally. Or we also see there's more leeway if you're getting paid in food rather than getting paid in money. Just very fascinating that, like, even a bracha rishona, I don't know, I've never heard of this being done l'maisa, where somebody doesn't make a bracha rishona because they're on the clock, they're working. It's a mind-blowing concept, but we just see the importance of being an honest worker, right? That when you're there, I mean, how long does it take to say a hamotzi? I don't know, there might be a different gears to the Gemara, so I don't know if
I mean, most people these days courses normally just say hamotzi in less than 2 seconds.
Right, so you say, oh, it's not a problem in the first place. But no, first of all, it teaches you hamotzi probably requires a little bit more kavana. And also, that short time that I would say hamotzi the kavana, that's stealing from your employer if it's not appropriate for you to say it. So it's something to be very mindful of.
I think you should ask your employer if I take, like, 5 seconds left, Can you at least like be machleif?
Okay. It could be that's appropriate. Now I think we assume most of our employees would be machleif.
You know, I'll work a minute overtime. Six times.
All right. Okay, so let's finish up here. So this Gemara that we're about to do now, we already did it on Yud Aleph. It was before you were with us, but we did it with on Yud Aleph. So I'm going to go through it pretty quickly, and we'll end on the next Amud. So Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. Oh, sorry. Chosan Pater Makriyashma. Chosan is Pater Makriyashma. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a Braisa. B'shivtach v'vesecha, says in Shema, in your sitting, in your house. Prat lo osek b'mitzvah. That comes to exclude somebody who's involved in the mitzvah. He doesn't have to say kriyashma. Kriyashma said b'shitach v'vesecha when you're sitting in your house. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, then no. Uvelechtach v'aderech. And it also says you say kriyashma if you're going on the road. Prat lechasan. That comes to exclude a chasan who's going to be with his wife. Mikan amru. From here, they said, the Chachamim said, Hakonis is a basula putter. Somebody who is entering a basula, he's marrying a basula, a woman who's never married before, he's putter from Kriyashma. Yes, Amana, but an Amana, a widow, someone who's previously married, he's marrying her, so then he's Chayiv. Right, we explained in Yudalev that he's less nervous when it comes to an Amana. There are different opinions in the Rishonim about what he's so nervous about, whether he's not sure exactly how to go about being with his wife, or he's not sure maybe he's going to find out his wife is not a basula. There's different concerns that are on his mind that are specifically with a basula, but not with an almana. Okay, so my mashma, how is this derived? How is this implied that b'shivtach v'vesecha v'lechtach v'aderech excludes someone doing a mitzvah and a chasan going to be with his wife? So Amar of Papa, Papa says ki derech, right? Lechacha baderech, in the way, because it says way. Ma derech rishus, just like going on the way. A way is sounds optional. Avhacha nami rishus. Also here, it means a rishus, but he's doing like a davar mitzvah, like a chasan with his wife. So then he would be patur from kriyashma. Hold on. You're telling me derech means rishus? Mi lo askinan dikazil a davar mitzvah? Do we not ever have someone going on the road to do a davar mitzvah? Why does derech mean it must not be a mitzvah? Vafilu hachi am a rachmana likri. And even so, the Torah says to read. The Torah says, if you're going on the derech, whether you're doing a derech mitzvah or a derech rishus, you should read kriyashma.
It doesn't matter. Just do another mitzvah. It's not like, just do another mitzvah. He's not doing a mitzvah at the moment. The way to mitzvah. So you should read.
No. If you have to do a mitzvah, you have to do the mitzvah. I mean, to stop for a few moments and say Krishna maybe would be an interruption. We're saying that if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're on the way to do a mitzvah. That's part of the mitzvah. But the problem is that what part of on the road implies on the road to do a mitzvah more than on the road to, I don't know, go to the store, right? On the road to hang out with friends. It's on the road. What part of on the road sounds like it's not a davar mitzvah? You said on the road it must not be a mitzvah. Well, maybe someone's on the road to do a mitzvah. So in Cain lema kra beleches. No, they didn't just say in going. My belechticha in your going. Shamina beleches didach in the going for you. Who demechayat? That's when he's chayef. Ha de mitzvah. But if he's on the derech of a mitzvah patirat, then he's pater from kriyashma. So what we just said is that the Torah says uvelechtecha baderech, uveleches baderech. I might say, oh, I don't know, derech mitzvah, derech rishos, but it says uvelechtecha in your going, meaning it's not for the derech of Hashem. It's just your own thing. Uveleches didach, your own derech. So that it's clearly not talking about derech mitzvah. It's talking about derech rishos. Okay. Ihachi, if so, my irya hakonis is a basula. So if that's true, right? So why only someone who's marrying a basula? Afilu konis es almana, someone who's also marrying an almana. Why shouldn't that's also a davar mitzvah for a man to marry his almana, to be his almana wife? Why not his almana? His almana wife, his wife who was previously an almana. So why he should also be patur kriyashma? No, hacha tarid v'hacha lo tarid. As we said here, by a basula, he's more nervous and he's preoccupied. That was the word we had last time. He's preoccupied and concerned with his amana with the basula v'hacha with the amana lo tarid. He's not so concerned. So wait, you're telling me then that imishum. So you're telling me that as long as he's preoccupied, he's something on his mind that's disturbing him. He's allowed to be avoid saying Kriyas Ma'im Yishum Tirda Afilu Tava Svinasa Biyam Nami. So if he's right, what if his boat is sinking in the sea, then he's also preoccupied. That is then also there you should be putter from Kriyas Ma'im. Is that right?
Well, for sure.
So, but the answer is no. Alama, but no, that can't be. Alama, because if so, why Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav? Why would Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav say Avel Chayiv Bechol Mitzvos Baruch Torah? That an Avel is Chayiv in all the Mitzvos in the Torah. Chutz Min Atzvilin Shari Namar Ben Pe'er Shnamar Pericha Chavosh Alecha the Gomer. Right? Why is an Avel Chayiv in Mitzvos? If you're telling me that maybe somebody who's Shib is thinking he should also be Putter for Mitzvos. No, that's not true, because an Avel who's for sure has this tear done and this preoccupation in his mind, and he's chayv in mitzvos, so for sure someone who's boat is seeking in the sea, not. So amri hasam, tear de rishus, hacha, tear de mitzvah. No. In the case of the boat, in the case of a velos, he has a tear de rishus. It's an optional preoccupation, and because of that, so he's still chayv in kriyasma. But when it comes to the kohenis, it's a pasula, so that person, he is preoccupied with the dover mitzvah, and therefore he is one who is putter in kriyasma.